The path of totality is the narrow band where the moon's shadow will fall on Earth. It'll cross parts of 15 states from Kerrville, Texas to Caribou, Maine. More than 30 million people already live within that path and can easily witness the total solar eclipse. The real path of totality is the fact that we are 3 weeks from the NFL draft, 4 days till the Masters, and in the midst of the NCAA Final Four.
You think we could get Neil deGrasse Tyson on here?
And we're back, Maddie. It's been a long time.
This show is, everything is out in the open here, right? I admittedly forgot because we've been so rusty because we've had a couple stops and starts the last few weeks. We've had a lot of stuff going on. You know, it happens, right? I forgot that we have a whole new open. So
yeah,
maybe
we have a new open.
Again, I'm optimistic. Maybe we stumbled on something there. Maybe we lead into it with a question. Who knows, right?
Talk like, over the open. It's okay.
Necessity is the mother of invention. And no, who invents better than us?
No rules. So, yeah, I think just we have to address to the listeners why we've been gone for a bit. We had a cancellation. We had two major power outages in Maine, and we didn't want to risk like the issues with audio, video, whatever, just to put out a inferior product. We were guests on the Pitch, Putt, and Puff podcast, which was fun to be on the other side of the fence.
A lot of fun.
Roger was great. So we're back. And there is a ton going on. So as I mentioned in the warm open, we've got the NFL draft. We've got the NCAA Final Four going on right now. We have the women's last night and the finals tomorrow. It's tomorrow, right? Or is it?
Women's is tomorrow and then men's is Monday. Yeah. Yep. I saw. So I assume Caitlin Clark is just going to go to the WNBA. I truly don't know like what the options are outside of that for them. So she'd get drafted by the Indiana team, the Fever. Ooh. And so out of curiosity, because I had a little debate this week with a few folks about like, what is her earning potential? Knowing that she's, you know, if there has been a women's player at her level, and again, every time period is a little different, so you sort of have to account for that. Has there ever been a bigger star in women's college basketball?
Not coming, like when the WNBA first started, right? Rebecca Lobo was like the biggest star. And she was doing the game last night. And I don't think so. I think if the WNBA can't market her correctly, like, fold it up. Like, it's she's not fold it up. Like, she's doing a lot of great things for women's sports, women's basketball. I don't mean it like that, but they need new leadership in place if they can't figure this out.
Everything needs to grow in some capacity. Like, that league can't be that profitable, right? Like, I think they bring in like $200 million a year in revenue. So, you know, who knows how, again, it's all relative, but like, here's what I'm getting at.
What's her total earning potential? Is she going to make?
Well, so that part, I don't know because I have a few thoughts on that, but I was looking at their schedule because the draft. So I wish that every other league was able to do this. I'm pretty sure they have their WNBA draft and then they start playing like a month later.
Yeah, it's quick. It's
imagine the NFL doing that.
They couldn't.
I know they couldn't, but I'm a dreamer. So all the games, all the in LA, for instance, right? Or wherever, Connecticut, wherever you are, all the games, like the normal home games are like, you know, $20, $30 get in price. And then the games against the Fever, where she's going to presumably be drafted, were like $1.50 get in. So, you know, maybe it's a turning point for that league. Cause I know like the MLS has kind of been languishing in mediocrity for a while. And then they got a little bump and then they got some of these like stars, has-been stars from over in Europe and wherever. And now they've got, I feel like they've carved out a decent little niche of a league. So maybe they can do that.
So I don't want to bury the lead here. Like I was watching her and I've watched a couple of her games, right? And she is so incredible. And it's not even the scoring. It's not even like the Steph Curry-like shooting and, you know, can make it from half court. It's the passing, like the speed of her passes and the velocity is incredible. And so I think she's going to turn some heads in a different way, but I don't know that she's going to be like the best player when she enters the league. Like LeBron,
it's tough, yeah,
the MVP when he entered the league, right? Like, you know, it took him a few years to get up to like the top three. And,
yeah,
you know, you could see it happening. And I think the same thing's going to happen with her, but she's going to have this huge following. So, you know, maybe she's that sort of lightning rod for the WNBA. And it's all of a sudden, like, the women's college basketball tournament has been really fun to watch. There's been at Iowa State. The LSU stuff is fun. South Carolina is undefeated. Like, so I think whoever's running the league, I don't know if Silver has his hands in it, but I think Caitlin Clark beating like an undefeated team might be the storyline of the weekend.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, Iowa's not even one of the like two, three best teams, I don't think.
No, I don't know. I don't know enough. I'm not going to pretend to, but.
Yeah, that's about the end of my depth as well.
Mine too. All right, so we covered that in four.
Unbelievable.
Who has ever said that we don't cover women's sports?
We are basically AI now. Like, we're going to give you a quick 5-minute synopsis and review of an event or topic or thing, and that's what you're going to get. Quick editor.
Purdue is in the middle of the Final Four game. What's going on? I have not paid any attention. NC State, like, do they have a shot or are they hanging in?
Checking right now, because obviously, well, not obviously, I don't have the game on. They're down 6. They're kind of like floating around.
Okay.
You know, I don't think it matters. I really don't think it matters.
You can win.
Neither of those teams are able to, like, the only scenario where one of those teams is able to beat UConn is if they find a way to completely eliminate Klingon. And even if they did that, let's say it's Purdue because they're most likely to win.
Right.
Then that means in doing so, you've eliminated your best player who makes the entire offense go, which is Edie, who's super limited. I mean, how many times are we going to watch him get the ball just outside the key, do that big, tall, goofy dribble, and then get stripped by a guard? Like, he's just like, he's got a very specific game. He's incredibly consistent. He double doubles. He's a machine. But, like, A, his game's not going to transfer to the pros at all. No, B, like, you can take him out of games by not letting him get deeper in. So I just think if those guys cancel each other out, UConn has, like, 4 or 5 other dudes that can make plays. And
it's not going to be pretty.
No.
So I am, speaking of not pretty, I am going to be in Storrs, Connecticut on Monday evening. And I am a little bit nervous. Like, how many locks should I have on my door?
No.
Lampposts.
You're gonna be okay. You want to know why?
What?
That is a school that's not unfamiliar with titles. And speaking from experience, as a young man who was privileged enough to just be showered with titles all of his 20s and 30s, after a while you appreciate them all the same, but you don't like feel the urge to go get wild. Like, I remember when the Pats won their first Super Bowl, I was at UMass. And so that was like a powder keg. It's a college party town.
Oh, it's a mess.
Plus their like first win in ever. So I think you'll be okay. I think your threat level there is a 4 out of 10. Just stay in the hotel.
All right. Yeah. Stay in the hotel.
Yeah.
Watch the first half at like the local bar. Leave. Yeah.
If you see some magic, you go live. We'll go live if we need to.
Yeah, we might go live if things get wild. But
Okay. So... Quick shout out. Henry. Our guy Henry's Weather Channel. I was surfing through Instagram before I popped over here for this, and he's gonna be taking some of his content over to Patreon. So,
oh, good for him.
I know we talked to him about that, and like thought, like, you know, he was kind of like, should I do this? Can I do this, etc. And we were sort of like, yeah, I mean, people love to follow you, like, go for it. So, everybody should go over there and contribute in some way and help him, you know, try to grow a little bit because he's doing it all right. So, special shout out to Hank.
Best work. So we've had, as I mentioned during the intro, we've had 2 power outages in the last 3 weeks here in Maine. And I asked Henry what was going on. And my daughter, even though, is like, can you ask Henry if we're going to have school tomorrow? And he is as accurate as it gets. So, you're right on with the shout out to Henry.
And he is that way for the same reason Caitlin Clark is exceptionally elite, and it's the time. You put the time in. Like, Caitlin Clark, her workout regimen is like, she's Steph Curry. It's that much, that level. Like, you have to be that committed to be the best at anything with a bunch of people, and Henry's in the mix. I'd watch him over anybody on the news. Get those guys out of here.
I'm laughing because I agree and how much I love Henry. And I'm just excited to hear someone else agree with that take.
Yep.
So we've got the Masters coming up in 4 days. Are you prepared to hear Nance again? Usually we get a pretty dose of Nance by now, and he's doing back.
I mean, it's a,
and I feel like it's going to be exciting.
It's a better question for you.
I'm not.
You're not. Okay. Is that why you asked me first? You were hoping that I would ramble on like an idiot. Yeah. I'm excited. I know why you're excited. Like you know, did you carve out some time to sink into the couch on Saturday or Sunday for a little bit with him?
So my wife is away for the weekend. And I've got to figure out.
That's pretty selfish of her. She didn't even realize it was you and Nance's weekend.
Game on like the tablets are the kids going to do on Sunday. Well, dad takes
They're good. Off. They're well, good.
Nance lulls me to sleep.
And then you wake up, you know, to something remarkable happening.
Oh, to the 14th hole and
Yep. There's just no, I mean, I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know, but there's just no better end-to-end experience. Like the history of it, the optics of that course and how it looks, the ability to see the app is the best app that's ever been made somehow for like the amount of money that is involved in the Masters is like the endowment of every Ivy League school combined. Like the things I was watching today about the course, like, you know, everybody knows that every one of the greens has like a blower system so that they can keep the temperature, you know, up or down. The sand isn't even sand. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
It's like a super, super fine, like basically plastic. Really? And they bring it in. It's not even real sand. It looks that because of that. So it's like, they're like, everything is so meticulously done and the whole experience. And the guys, I think they want to win it more than anybody wants to win.
I mean, that's, yes, it's circled on every big, like, player's major radar. Like that.
It's the major's major. It's the number one major.
It is. I mean, other than the Ryder Cup, it's also like the most enjoyable experience for fans to watch too.
And we'll do more golf. We got Bud, on Monday?
Yeah, we've got a ton. We've got a lot coming on next week.
Well, if his boy Akshay wins this weekend, he's going to be jazzed up on Monday.
Oh, so he told me Nyman, Joaquin.
Not this week. Yeah, no, at the Masters. I'm saying
The Masters.
Akshay is in the lead at the end of third round at the Valero. Yeah. And that's Bud was an early Akshay adopter.
He's been on it.
Yeah.
Is Sarge playing the Masters? He's been in on Sarge for like a year now.
Sergeant Slaughter. No, he would need an exemption of some sort. He's not on tour, I don't think. Okay. He has a card. So, I mean, that's a question for Bud. I don't think
We'll find out. We'll get back to Bud.
Yeah, I don't think he's in the field, but Bud knows. He's our rain man.
You know, this is really like sort of a preview of what you're going to get over the next 3 weeks. Yeah. And after we get through the Masters, we are going to be really like knee deep in NFL draft. We started out hot this morning, Maddie. I got my power back. I was excited. I did about like, I don't know, an hour of research on Bo Nix. Talked myself into the Broncos, not taking him at 12, but trading back either to the second round and picking up more draft capital or like late first, right? And you've been on record saying you want Drake May to the Patriots. So these are our two teams that we follow that we care about. Tell me why you love Drake May and why you are not concerned about the fact that he's only played 4 games against top 25 teams.
On your deathbed, are you going to be staring at your loved ones? So AB and I, and are you going to be thinking to yourself, man, I wish I had taken less chances in life. I wish I had taken less shots. I wish I had chased less upside. Do you think that you'll be saying those things?
No, because I have always believed in Drew Lock.
Okay. Yes, you know, I need AB here for this. It's not even fair. That's basically an ambush. It's like I got two of you over there. Listen. I know what Bo Nix, we all know, we should know, I hope you know, what Bo Nix is, can be, and probably will be, right? Because that's what projecting is. It's what have you seen, and then what do you think you can get out of that? That's what scouting is. That's what life is. It's picking stocks. It's whatever.
Yep.
And I know your situation's different, so it's not one for one.
It's not. Like, it's not.
you know, Bo Nix is essentially like Trent Dilfer. In order to win with him, you need to have the very best defense in the world. And you need to have at least a playmaker somewhere. One is fine. Just
you
one,
need,
right?
You need a couple.
Well, Brady did it with some pretty shoddy receiving corps.
Yeah, and he's on. I appreciate you talking about future Denver Bronco Bo Nix in the same breath as Tom Brady.
And yeah, of course, yeah. There's no upside. There's no upside. And, you know, I personally am a May fan because of a few things. One, he's shown it in some capacity. I think it's so disingenuous. Like, show me the last college quarterback that came out where there was like not a single red flag and everybody was like, he's done it consistently for his 2-3 years of school day in. Like, these kids are 20. Like, I don't care if they've done it, because it's not like we've all kind of like gotten to this point where the expectations are out of whack. So just show it to me, right? Flashes. Show me that you can be elite. Like, pop that elite ability. Nix has never done it.
Yep.
Penix has, but he's such a weird case. I mean, he's like 29 years old. He only throws the ball deep. He's basically old Jameis Winston. So, like, we know what he is, too. I don't think there's any upside there. J.J. McCarthy is probably Kirk Cousins, and so I don't know that there's upside, but there's definitely value. Yep. And then, there, dude, like Drake May, when he had a decent surrounding cast, and I'm not saying that's the excuse for him playing poorly this year. And I know that the ACC is garbage and he's not facing like really good defenses, but he's pro ready. He's 22. He's shown it. And like, the only reason he was even in the conversation as potentially the number one last year was because of that season he had. So the upside is just like so much greater. Like, why wouldn't
you can see the, yeah, you can see the arm talent. Like, you can see in
he mobile.
Fits every bill, size, speed.
He runs through his progressions. He gets out when he needs to. He doesn't stand in pockets like Daniels. Daniels left cleaner pockets more than any QB in the country last year.
Yep.
That's not good. That's Fields type stuff. Like, that, you had to fix that. You can't do that anymore.
More accurate on the run, though.
Yeah, but he's also 116 pounds and he runs like he's Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, the concern is it like a little bit of the Bryce Young build, even though he's taller, like even though he's 3 inches or 4 inches taller, he's still like, you know, little. I think with Nix, like, he gets the ball out quickly, he's not going to get beat up, he's also no pun intended, like an adult in the room.
I mean, yeah, he's been 24. In college for like 40 years, so I hope so.
But I you know, it's all going to come down. We'll talk about this and we'll be wrong a million and a half times, but it's all going to come down to what system are they in? Are they put in positions to succeed? You know, all of these guys were top three recruits going into college you know, like have found a way one way or another to get into the draft conversation. So it's going to be fun.
It'll be good. Right. It's a fun draft, finally. We haven't had one in a few years. This is the best draft overall that we've had probably since 2022 or one, whatever year that was.
So I told Alex he has to listen to this episode. What is the one player that you think he will have concerns about their hip fluidity?
What position? Narrow it down for me.
Give me a wide receiver or cornerback.
Okay, wide receiver. He's going to have some issues with Keon Coleman, I think.
Yeah. That was my guy.
Because he's going to want to – he's like – you know, he's going to want to be sold that he is good because he's got a very polarizing player. But he's going to find out that he's basically just like a jump ball guy, and AB's not going to like that. He wants a complete player. So
he's like, his floor is 80% of Cortland Sutton.
Yeah. That's the comp I've heard most for him is Cortland Sutton.
Yeah. Which is right.
But even if that's his ceiling, you know,
that's a number two. That's a second round wide receiver. Like, you're getting a second contract, but you're not like a number one anymore.
Yeah. He's going to be, if we get this deep, I don't know if we will. I hope he does. Let's see. Well, if he listens to this, I guess that's cheating.
No,
but Georgia's cornerback there, I think it's Georgia's cornerback, Lassiter.
Yeah.
He ran like a 4.7 40.
Yeah. He's not
quite. And he's undersized. So I think he'll like our boy Sanra Still, who I hope somehow makes his way to the Pats in like the third round or something.
Yeah, he's like the 95th pick or 95th ranked.
Yep. But put him in the slot. Put him in the slot.
Yeah, we're going to get into him because we have some of our favorites. You mentioned one of yours in the text earlier. Mine isn't like a super deep dive, but there are two guys that I really love in terms of playmakers. There's Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky, the Yak King. And then there's Jalen Wright, running back out of Tennessee, that, you know, he's a running back by committee guy, but on the right team, he's like Jahmyr Gibbs light, is the way I kind of think of him.
Yeah, it's a fun draft. Quarterbacks loaded. I mean, wide receivers loaded, quarterbacks loaded, linemen loaded. There's a lot of good talent in the secondary too. But yeah, I think this running back class is overlooked. There's no like studs. There's no stars, and you're
there are
gonna no studs.
There are a bunch of guys that can contribute to committees, though.
Just follow the draft capital. See which teams pick who, and then ride with those guys. Because honestly, you can make a case for literally any of them as RB1.
I love it. Who do you have tonight? Obviously, you've got UConn.
I think we'll get UConn Purdue ultimately, and I think the line for that game will be like 5 or 6. UConn will be laying it.
Okay, where are you lying on the line?
UConn. Yeah, I would.
You're laying the points.
Yeah, I mean, they're just so much better than any other team. It's really not. You know, Houston was the only team that I thought would actually have a chance to do something to slow them down. Purdue doesn't
have Auburn too with Green, right? Like,
yeah. Yep. Yep. But they turned into Auburn. They just got beat.
Yep. All right. I will be with you live from Storrs, Connecticut, to see the reactions of the locals. And Maddie, it's good to be back. It's good to have our own logo on the pod.
It's like going to the range after not golfing for a few weeks, just getting back into it, right? Getting stretched out.
I know. Generators be damned.
Yeah, do what you can.